Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. If you've ever been diagnosed with depression, or if you or a loved one has ever wondered whether you're clinically depressed or have ever taken a prescription drug for depression, this conversation will be of interest to you. As you know, when the topic is depression here on HealthLink On Air, then our go-to guy is Dr. Thomas Schwartz, Associate Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at SUNY Upstate, who is, as I'm sure you've guessed, here in the studio with me this morning. Good morning and welcome back, Dr. Schwartz.
Great. Thanks for having me out again.
Well, you know, we usually cover a topic that's based on a news story as part of our News and Views segment each Sunday, but this one demands a much longer conversation about TMS, a form of treatment for depression. No drugs. Tell us about it.
Well, it's an interesting new treatment. It was FDA approved in October of this year. And TMS is transcranial magnetic stimulation.
So, magnetic?
Yes. So we basically, you'll use magnetic waves to kind of change the way the brain functions. And the idea is if you're depressed, we think your brain is stuck in the depressed mode. It's functioning with depressed electricity, depressed chemicals. And using magnetic waves, if you can send those through the skull into certain parts of the brain, you kind of change the electricity in that part of the brain. That changes the chemicals in that part of the brain, and ideally that helps lift depression. So it's an interesting new approach. It's been studied since the 80s.
Wow.
So it's not new technology, but it's taken that long to refine it and bring it to the FDA and have the FDA sign on for it.
It sounds painful.
Well, I guess it sounds painful and science fiction-like in some
ways.
Yes,
it does.
But the biggest complaint really is it's noisy. So let me maybe describe the procedure.
That's great.
Okay. I think people have been to a dentist office, and you can relate to, not that it hurts like a dentist, but you basically sit in a dentist chair. Mm-hmm. It really is that kind of setup. And then there's a machine that, you know the light at the dentist office that he brings down and hovers over you?
Right.
Well, instead of a light, you put this kind of magnet. It's maybe, I don't know, 6 inches by 8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically, you float this magnet over the left frontal side of your head while you're sitting in a dentist chair. And basically, the doctor turns a switch on, and then you just hear lots of clicking noises. So there's no pain. It doesn't really touch your head from that point of view. There's no pinching, poking, prodding, but there's a lot of clicking.
Oh, my gosh.
And you sit there for about 30 minutes, and every click is a magnetic pulse.
Uh-huh.
And that, again, goes through your skull and hits that kind of left frontal part of your brain. And that's one part of the brain where we think depression lives.
You know, and that actually raises a question. Can you look at someone's brain and tell whether this is doing something to someone's brain?
Well, I think that's the art of psychiatry now, is any treatment, whether it's this treatment, medications, psychotherapy. We are starting to use these brain imaging, like PET scanners or MRI scanners. And it's a new kind of art form for us from a research point of view. But yes, you can start looking into the brain, what parts are depressed, what parts aren't. You can study people before and after treatments to see if, let's say, this part of the brain looked blue on the study, and then as it turned red after the treatment. And so, I don't know if they've done that yet with the TMS device, though I suspect that will be something they're looking at.
Absolutely. It seems. Who can be treated with this?
Well, I think the FDA has decided that it's a relatively early treatment for depression. So the idea would be if you're suffering from depression, you try a medication, and let's say that medication doesn't work completely. Maybe you're 20% better, 50% better.
Or maybe it slowed you down, or you're just not comfortable with
it. Or you're having side effects. Yep, mm-hmm. That's true. And so the idea would be if the first medication at a very good dose or a full dose has just not been fully effective, this is the ideal place for this treatment.
I see.
So instead of maybe switching medicines, adding a second medicine, you know, adding psychotherapy, doubling your psychotherapy, it really looks like this is an early intervention, maybe in place of other psychotherapy. These other medications.
Now, has it been FDA approved?
So yes, and that is where it's FDA approved, is if you've been on one medication at a good dose and if it just really hasn't worked well for you,
mm-hmm.
this is the group of people that it's been FDA approved for.
Well, you said it's been around since the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's being used in other places then successfully?
Well, I think this is the first FDA approval for us in the U.S. I do think they have ongoing studies in other areas like headaches and chronic pain conditions. I think the idea is that, let's say pain is an example.
Okay.
You can certainly feel pain in your arms and your legs. But pain is really interpreted up in your brain.
That's true.
So even though the pain is in your spine or your knees, it's really your brain is registering it and making you feel ouch. So if they can localize that part of the brain and, again, change its electricity and its chemicals, the idea there might be to find that same effect. So, again, it's certainly not FDA approved, and they're looking at it in that area, even other areas. And so it's a new technology. It's relatively safe. It's not invasive. It doesn't really hurt people from a poking, prodding point of view.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think they're looking at a lot of areas.
Interesting. So now you say it's been FDA approved. Is it being used in a lot of places?
Well, I think that's the difficult part. So mm-hmm. I think it's new enough. It's a device. People kind of have to set up a new office, a room with a dentist chair. Uh-huh. You have to buy the equipment, get trained on the equipment. So again, I think maybe a couple of the major cities that were involved in the initial FDA trials have these set up. So New York City, Boston, Toronto, probably. I think as the technology is out there, as the FDA approval kind of has spread as far as the news and the media, I think more of us, at least clinicians and psychiatrists, are going to be looking into purchasing the equipment and providing the treatment. So I would expect it's quite limited now, but it should expand in most major cities, I would hope, over the next few years.
Interesting. There must be then some sense that it is successful for a certain percentage of the people who give it a try. What kinds of percentages are those?
Well, again, I think what we're looking at is the FDA data mm-hmm. in the U.S. And I think for people that have come in, if they've been on that first antidepressant, it's not as effective as they want it to be. If my memory serves me, I think about 40% of the people will then end up doing very well with this treatment.
They will. So are they still taking the drug and having the treatment at the same time?
For the most part, mm-hmm. I think that's the scenario. They'll stay on the medicine that was getting them partially better. Because if we remove that, oftentimes people lose that. Maybe they get 40% better.
Yeah.
And then you take the medicine away and they lose it. So I think most people will stay on that first medicine. And then when I say the 40% better, what I mean by that is 40% of people that undergo this TMS treatment will go into remission. And we use the cancer term in psychiatry. Uh-huh. Now, remission means 0% depression left.
Okay.
And so, again, that's not a bad number. If you're already 40, 50% better with your first drug that you're on, and then you have almost a 50% chance of doing very well with the course of this treatment.
And what is the course of the treatment? I mean, is it, once a week, or is it for the rest of their lives? How does that go?
It is different. You basically have to go to your doctor's office Monday through Friday for about, let's say, half an hour to an hour.
Okay.
And so that's for 3 weeks. So you're traveling back
okay.
and forth every day to your doctor's office, just like, you're going to the dentist office mm-hmm. or whatnot. But you basically go and sit in that chair for 30 to 45 minutes. And again, you're going to do that Monday through Friday, maybe for about 3 weeks. So it was really studied in the short-term settings. And so the idea is, I think we know the results from these short-term studies. We really don't know yet how long does the treatment last. Do you need to come back once a week,
and that was my question.
Once a month,
that's
once
right.
a year?
Uh-huh.
If your depression goes away, I guess ideally what happens is we fix the depression. And if you do well, that's great. And if you do well for 6 months or 6 years, that's great too. But if you start relapsing, mm-hmm. Maybe you go back for another 3 weeks.
And would
weeks.
You recognize when you were relapsing, or would you have to be pretty well into it before you realized it?
Well, I think it works both ways. I think if you continue to see your doctor, whether it's your family practice doctor, your psychiatrist, if you have a psychotherapist or counselor, ideally we're looking for these things.
Watching for
and
it.
And again, we all have bad days. But
sure.
if you have 7 to 10 bad days in a row, chances are that's your depression coming back. And we start drawing the line there. And maybe that's when you come back for treatment.
Do you combine it with other kinds of therapies? I know you said that, yes, you'd probably stay on the drug and you'd probably have this treatment in addition. But what about, some of the studies we've looked at say that talk therapy for a lot of people is just as effective. Do you put all those together?
Yeah, I think you could. And again, I think there's not a lot of data when you mix and match 3, 4, 5 things, what are the outcomes?
So, and it's hard to tell which one is the part
working.
That's working.
And,
sure.
And they all work, and they are all good treatments. And what I really tell my patients, if you're in that situation where, let's say, you're on that first medication and you're 50% better, you have choices. We can switch medicines. Maybe the next one will be better. You can add a medication to try to get better than 50%. We can add psychotherapy if you're not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess TMS would be the other thing we can add now.
Sure.
And I think they're all good treatment options. And basically what you'll do is you'll go with what the patient feels most comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has risks and benefits, and they choose. And if that works and they're remarkably better, we're done.
There you go. What about shock therapy? I remember hearing years ago, I had a friend whose mother went through shock therapy, and it just sounded like such a horrible thing. Is this at all akin to that?
Nope, not really. Shock therapy, remember, induces a seizure. And that what happens with that is your brain has all this electrical activity. I mean, your whole brain is basically having the same electrical waves going through it, just like somebody with epilepsy. And so after that, people will have lost some of their memory for the day. They'll probably have a headache. They'll be achy. It's a very well-controlled thing. Shock therapy occurs in the hospital now. People are under anesthesia. The body,
so it is still used.
Yeah. And the body doesn't move. Mm-hmm. The brain just has this big electrical seizure, though. And those are the side effects, memory problems and aches and pains and things of that nature. This transcranial magnetic stimulation really doesn't induce a full-blown seizure. It's concentrating magnetic waves in the brain, which turns into electricity, but without providing a full-blown seizure.
So it's kind of a step. It's not quite so difficult.
It's a milder.
It can have,
Yeah, it's a milder version. Certainly doesn't have that kind of side effect as a full seizure.
Right, because the shock therapy is used in really extreme cases.
Correct.
You're talking about this TMS as somebody who's really just getting into it and trying to get things back around.
Yes, that's a good way to think about it. I think the electroconvulsive therapy, the shock treatments, are really used for people who are in dire straits of hurting themselves. Mm. You know, really, we can't get the medicines or the therapy to stop their suicidal thinking. Or it's used for people that have been on several medications and even been through psychotherapy. And
yeah.
And so, yes, the TMS device is probably being used earlier.
Well, Dr. Thomas Schwartz, thank you so much for coming by this morning and explaining TMS to us. As you get using it more and more here in Central New York, I hope you'll return.
Will do. Thank you.
And listeners, we're going to take a break now. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.